Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Yes, tonight in our weekly segment, The Human Condition, we wrap up our series in pursuit of happiness. And to conclude, we're going to look at the intriguing part that flourishing plays in happiness. And because she's in such demand, our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, can't be with us in the studio tonight because she's attending a conference in Melbourne. Just landed, we understand.
Yes, I'm right here.
It's nice to see that you've landed safely. Hi, Lynn. So this flourishing might seem a bit of an unusual part in happiness, so let's begin by seeing where and how it fits in.
Now, flourishing is a term that Martin Seligman uses in the title of his latest book, which is really about the alternative to the happiness sort of wave that's going on. He notes there that there's actually a danger in trying to seek to be happy. And the term that being positive involves a more sort of hedonistic pursuit of a person's own pleasure. Hmm. So he warns against this pursuit, and he says what we should be looking for is flourishing. And the term flourishing refers to being able to sort of go through, you know, life's ups and downs and not just grow in spite of the difficulties, but because of the difficulties that we face.
Okay. That doesn't mean that we can't be positive or find pleasure in our happiness.
No, and actually that's part of how we do flourish. So, you know, we can look again at those sort of studies and understand how we grow through trauma. And we look at those sorts of studies that look at particularly people who've gone through stress. And, you know, in the past we've gone, you know, let's look at these people who've got post-traumatic stress disorder. But we're starting to say, okay, let's have a look at the people who've got post-traumatic growth instead.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's really interesting.
So how do we flourish then? That's probably a basic question, but an important one if we're dealing with this.
Okay, well, how we flourish. We're better off, if we flourish, we actually look, again, back to what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, is looking at connections and to have more purpose and satisfaction with our lives in connecting with other people. But Martin Seligman puts together an acronym, PERMA, P-E-R-M-A, which is, doesn't really make much sense to have an acronym that doesn't make a word, but anyway,
okay.
You know, it's a bit like resilience donut, at least it makes a word.
Yeah.
But PERMA, the first P word starts for, it looks at how we have positive experiences and sensations. So if you think about, you know, when a baby is born, the positive sensation of being held and having a little massage and feeling that beautiful warm milk and warm skin against their body, that's a positive feeling, a positive sensation. And where we actually yearn for those positive physical experiences that we need in our body, which is why chocolate and massage and sun and the wind in our hair and so on, they're all sort of really good things to have.
Yeah.
So they're one of our biggest contributors to experiencing positive emotions, is positive sensations and experiences. We can also have that by being grateful. So as we actually sit with that mindfulness and being grateful, we can actually sort of start looking at the delight of the physical environment around us. That's the P.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is E,
mm-hmm.
So engagement. And that's like we've been talking about before, but not just talking about relationships and connections, but engaging in the moment and engaging in experiences that actually take our whole mind. So, you know, when you're working on something and it's really, you know, quite holds your attention a lot, that's an engagement. When you're actually engaged in the moment trying to do something, either it's social or physical or intellectual, that sort of gives us a bit of a challenge and actually helps our brains to really sort of exercise.
Yes.
So the next one is relationships. And that's what we've been talking about over and over, is the connecting with others as being really, really important. And it's really important that we have connections that have positive emotions associated with them as well. And being able to have connections that are really about, you know, both conflict and growth that help us help us in the way, but also relationships that mirror how we are and have positive, you know, so that we can actually have positive and fulfilling relationships in the future.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yes. Next one is M.
Right.
M for meaning. When we talked about that last 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
When we talked about having a meaning and a purpose in our life, and it affects all the things that we do. And I think as people have God in their lives, that affects everything, not just, you know, one segment of their lives. And if we have a meaning and a purpose and it's attached to a trauma that we're going through, there's actually a sense of growth that comes with that.
Mm.
And the last one is A. And he didn't put this in till last. He actually sort of thought that the P-E-R-M was enough, with just finishing with meaning and purpose. But he actually came back and he said, no, there needs to be a sense of an accomplishment. When someone has a feeling of accomplishment for the work that they do, physically, financially, emotionally, or anything, any sort of sense of accomplishment, it actually contributes to the search of significance that we have.
Okay. That sense of accomplishment doesn't need to necessarily come from someone else. It's more based on how we feel we've accomplished things, because not always, certainly in the workplace, for instance, is there a sense of that recognition that, you know, you've done a job well done.
No, that's right. That's right. So we can get it from a number of different places, and I think it's oftentimes it's that internal feeling that we've done something. We've done it, rather than getting a reward from it.
Okay. Now, in the Bible, let me ask you this. There are lots of real-life examples of people going through the wide range of difficulties in life, and we frequently see the kind of personal growth that people can experience through those hard times. How does that relate to psychology? Can you answer that?
I often think that the psychology is sort of like a science that has come about in the recent times. But we've got the Bible that's been there for many, many, many years, thousands of years. And so I think we need to go back to that. And it's I always go back to this part of the Bible in Romans where Paul says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, that verse gets turned around lots of ways and used in the wrong way, I think, in many, many times when people think, oh, yes, God works for good. He's caused this thing to happen that's bad. It doesn't work like that, and that's really not what the verse is saying. What the verse is saying is that God doesn't cause the bad things to happen in our lives, but rather, if we have a purpose that's grounded in our relationship with God, we can grow and flourish in the process of those things. And that's how God works for the good in our lives. So that way we can become richer in ourselves, more compassionate, more knowledgeable in the process of terrible circumstances, instead of being bitter and cold and angry and hard.
We know those kind of people. But what about this? In real-life practical terms, there are many people who do turn bitter and hard in their response to the traumas. There are those who turn their back on God and no longer see their lives as happy. I mean, that's just what happens, even though they have God in their lives to start with. What happens to them or with them then?
Okay. Look, we're human. And I think we need to start realising that there's a human response to trauma, and everybody has it. Nobody is immune to the human response to trauma. And whenever trauma occurs, what we tend to do is go back and protect ourselves. We become much more individualized, we become much more probably narcissistic in the process of trauma, and we put barriers up. And what happens then is we start to blame others that might come and hurt us. We start pushing out and getting angry. And oftentimes God is the one that takes the brunt of that.
Yes.
You know, why did this happen? What did you do this for? And so on. And it's a very simplistic question that God has caused it. And if you look at Job, that's what he was also lamenting, is that why is this happening to me? But I think when we have a human response to trauma, we've also got to forgive ourselves in the process of that. But then at the same time, if we want to be able to grow in the process of our trauma, what we need to do is almost become quite deliberate in our response to trauma. So rather than being reactive to it and making it worse, being proactive and using the trauma in some way that looks at growth is probably the way to go about it. But not everyone is able to do that.
That's a challenging thing to do.
it's a hugely challenging thing to do, and I admire people who can do that. And there are times when I myself I can go, oh my goodness, you know, I've reacted in such a way that's not very helpful. I need to stop and I need to look at how I've reacted. I need to turn this around so that there's growth in this.
Yes.
But it takes a long time to get to that conversation.
I guess yet again, and we've covered this before, our self-talk, what we're saying in our heads to ourselves about our life and circumstances, is probably one of the most critical things here.
Yes, yes. And we need to be able to have a conversation with ourselves, which is along the lines of, you know, how is this helpful? What am I going to do that's going to make things a little bit better in this? How can I grow in the process of this? But those questions are often the last ones you ask when you're going through something horrible.
Yes.
And someone's hurting around you.
Just to wrap up, can you give us a story from your own dealings with people who've gone through this kind of trauma and for whom it becomes a pathway to flourishing?
Well, I think you've touched a little bit on this already this evening with Kevin Rudd.
Yes, okay.
I'd like to actually just mention...
How political of you.
how political of me. But yeah. To actually notice in the papers the story of Kevin's response to what it's been like over the last 12 months, his response has been quite optimistic, even though he's saying, you know what, I didn't necessarily do the right thing and I actually didn't treat people the way I should have done. I've learned some things and I've changed and I think I've done a good job in the job I'm in because of my past position as PM.
Mm.
Really good stuff. Now, that itself is actually an example of someone who's flourishing in the midst of trauma or in the midst of a difficult, hurtful time.
Yes.
So
he might hope he flourishes a little more in the future. We'll see about that too.
We will keep those thoughts going.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.